This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
One ransomware attack is touching places from airports to grocery stores to banks. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. You know those Travelex booths you see at airports, the counters where you change like dollars to euros? So they're not quite functioning normally and have not been since New Year's. That's when hackers forced the company offline. Attendants are now resorting to pen and paper to make exchanges. And this is having some pretty widespread effects. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more. Hey, Nova, so what exactly did the hackers do and what do they want?
Right. So what we know is what Travelex has been sharing publicly. And what they've said is that they detected a ransomware attack on New Year's Eve. So a ransomware attack, as in when hackers get into a computer system, of course, and encrypt files and force an organization to pay a ransom to get their files back. So Travelex says it took its systems offline to prevent the attack from spreading, and it's been working ever since to get back online. A hacker group has apparently taken responsibility for the attack and told the BBC that it's asking for several million dollars ransom, actually.
Now, it's not just these booths at airports, because some grocery stores use Travelex, some banks rely on Travelex to handle currency exchanges. Do we know if customer data is threatened?
Right. We're talking about like something like 40 million customers, actually, annually that they handle. We know some overseas banks are affected, for example. They can't process foreign currency requests from customers at the moment, and Travelex's website is down. The company says it has no evidence, though, that customer data was actually taken. Now, the hackers have a different story. They tell the BBC that they have, in fact, just done just that. So that part of this actually remains unclear at this point.
So what's next?
We don't know. They say they're still working to restore their internal systems. So there's no timeline for that.
Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you.
You're welcome.
In about an hour and a half, we're going to find out how many jobs got added to the economy in December. And now, just as important as the number of jobs is how much those jobs are paying. Wages are supposed to go up when unemployment is low, and it is very low, lowest in 50 years. But as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, wages still have room to grow.
Wage gains were stuck around 3% a year in 2019. They rose well over 4% in the economic booms of the late 90s and mid-2000s. Berkeley economist Jesse Rothstein says the current job market probably isn't as tight as 3.5% unemployment suggests.
There are people who are not actively looking for work, but are on the margins. People who are not in a way fully employed, driving a little bit for Uber on the side. They might still be available to take a real job if one becomes available.
So employers may not feel much pressure to raise wages to keep the workers they already have, like Idaho grocery clerk Mark Pemble, who says he makes $15 an hour.
In the last 3 years, my hourly pay has not gone up at all. You know, honestly, the cost of living is not easy to handle.
A recent survey by Morning Consult finds Americans' confidence about their personal finances hasn't improved much in the past year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 2 to 5/10% range, with the Dow future up 67 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.85%. And scooter startup Lime, this is the company behind some of the scooters you find on sidewalks in a lot of cities, it is laying off 14% of its workers and getting out of 12 markets, according to Axios. Legal sports betting has been growing steadily since the Supreme Court struck down a federal ban in 2018. The NFL is slowly trying to get in on the action in its own small way. The league signed a branding deal with gambling giant Caesars. This could be a first step to the league embracing actual betting on its games. It's a small move because, as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports, there is a lot of money to be made in legalized gambling, but also a ton of risk.
Sports betting in America is a $150 billion business and growing. The American Gaming Association says that 38 million adults will bet on the NFL by the end of this year. David Forrest teaches economics at the University of Liverpool. He thinks the NFL has softened on gambling for one reason: the rise of live betting, which is basically placing wagers after the action has started.
There's money to be made by selling data, which allows that betting to take place.
For live betting, bookies need a lot of information to adjust odds in real time. Like, is that injured running back going to return in the second half? Betting makes that kind of closely held information priceless. The NFL says it doesn't work directly with the sportsbooks on any of the league's data. That's provided by a separate data company, Sportradar, which calls itself the NFL's official data company. The NFL receives an annual undisclosed rights fee from Sportradar.
Before, the leagues couldn't really get their hands on a share of the betting revenue that was generated.
That added extra slice of revenue for the NFL is nice, but there's risk associated with anything to do with gambling. Just last month, the football player on the Arizona Cardinals, Josh Shaw, was suspended indefinitely from the league for gambling on football games in Las Vegas. Shaw reportedly even bet against the team he plays for.
We have to think of gambling markets like we think of other financial markets.
John Holden teaches the business of sport at Oklahoma State University.
We don't let people trade stocks when they have inside information. This was what got Pete Rose in trouble. He was betting on baseball purportedly, and he was betting on his own team.
Rose was banned from anything associated with Major League Baseball in 1989. Christopher Dugan is with Genius Sports Group, a data and technology company. He says having bylaws on the books prohibiting those associated with a sport from gambling isn't enough. The NFL has to up the ante on educating anyone associated with the league about exactly what constitutes activity that's prohibited.
Once you have that level of awareness in place, once you have those educational measures, then you can move forward with the next step of how to engage with the betting industry.
Because what the NFL can't do is jeopardize public confidence regarding the fairness of the games, especially if you placed a legal bet on your favorite team to win the Super Bowl and it's got a shot to come through. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Brian Allison. Our fellow is Erica Soderstrom. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.